Greetings, cyberspace, and welcome to episode 261 of the Double Density Podcast with your host, Barney Angelo. Double Density is your home to tech tales and paranormal primers. The first things first, Angelo, you are the pilot of the tech section for this episode. I'm very curious to see where you take us with this. So without further ado, welcome to Angelo's take on the tech section.
Take on tech.
By Angelo.
Is that a good term? By me, yeah.
Trademark pending.
Well, we didn't have anything for the tech segment really ready. And we figured, you know, like, all the
negativity
going. I feel
like we need to ask Chris that one. I feel like we didn't have anything ready, sort of.
Yeah. I mean, there was other stuff, but this has been calling to me because all like the negative stuff in tech, people being laid off, car projects coming to an end, people breaking into cars, things like that we've been talking about. I felt let's add some positivity to the mix and talk about like our tech stuff that's making us happy these days. It could be old tech, could be new tech. It doesn't have to be anything like extravagant, like us getting a new car or something, just something we're like enjoying.
I love this because instead of trying to find positive tech stories, you went the lazy route.
I went, and people are interested in knowing like our feelings on our tech and what we're using and stuff.
Would they prefer hearing like good tech tales from like,
you know, either- what? Send us, go fill out our form using your tech product of choice and tell us if you like listening to us talking positively about tech.
All right. Well, I guess, sure, whatever. Let's do this.
Well, I'm going to start off with a really obvious one, but I'm enjoying it since I got it last September, my iPhone 15 Pro Max.
What about it?
I don't think I've ever been happier with an iPhone purchase. It seems like there's always been like things that I've...
Yeah, I'm kind of curious, like what is this making this like the ultimate iPhone for you for the moment?
When I got my last iPhone I got was the 12, and I didn't get the 12 Pro, which was like the quote unquote better phone. But having the zoom options, the camera's incredibly good. The videos I get are really great. And when I'm watching video on the train, let's say, because I go into the office every once in a while, having a screen that's slightly bigger, but not as cumbersome as holding an iPad up, is really great. And the screen on this thing, holy moly.
How much of it is buying into the hype versus actually being able to see the discernible difference, do you think, in your mind?
Oh, it's a big difference. I have a regular LED screen at home for my TV, which is perfectly fine. I did not want to spend $2,000 on an OLED for a 55-inch TV. And it's great. But when I watch video that has HDR on my iPhone and to a lesser extent on my MacBook Pro, which has a not OLED, but has something called mini LED technology in it, I really see the difference. Like, it's not hype or anything. I see the difference.
It's funny how we used to rail against the idea of watching things on our tiny screens, but now this is kind of normalized for you.
Only on the train. If I'm at home, I'm watching on TV.
What kind of content are you consuming on the train that you feel is like safe for train?
I am watching right now, I'm going through 30 Rock. So like, you know, 20-minute episodes of a comedy. It's not even an HDR or anything. It's just, but it looks good and it's fine. And it's something that's bite-sized too, right, for the train.
So I'm kind of curious, yeah, because you used to go in 5 days a week and you used to listen to a lot of podcasts. How's that going now that you're, sounds like you're a bit more video focused?
It depends how I'm feeling at the time. But on the way home, if I'm alone, I'm usually listening, watching something. Especially now that previously I didn't have a lot of data, right? Like when I used to go into the office, I had 6 gigabytes shared with my wife. Now that I'm on a new plan, we have 55 gigabytes each.
As he said that, his computer camera zoomed in on him as if he was making a declarative statement.
Yeah, it's very important. My computer can listen to me and knows when I'm about to say something important.
It's a HAL 9000 situation.
Yeah. Yeah. So having all that like data, I mean, I'm never going to even come close to using 55 gigs. So may as well use it.
All right. What's number two on your list?
Well, I thought you'd have some lists.
Oh, well, I mean, like, the first thing, obviously, is my standing desk.
Oh, that's great.
It is a piece of tech that I bought about a year ago, and it changed my life. I take most of my meetings standing up. It makes me feel better. I know that, like, old school ones had hand cranks, and I've seen those. I'm not a fan of those, but this is a lot more easy to operate. I have 3 presets, sitting, standing, and one kind of in between. So, yeah, I really enjoyed the fact that I can break up the monotony of, like, working from home by figuring out if I want to work from home sitting or standing or like half crouching for a couple of minutes as I'm trying to stretch my back out. So yeah, thank you, standing desk.
I have a standing desk at the office and I use it from time to time. It's probably the best thing about the office that I go to.
Is it a shared standing desk?
No, not at all. That would be really weird.
Well, it could be like
sit.
A communal place.
I want to stand. I want to sit. I want to stand. No, it's my desk.
Okay.
Yeah, it's my desk. That's mine. And I have a display that I plug in my MacBook Pro into to use at the office, which brings us into my thing number two, my M1 MacBook Pro that I bought last year. And I guess also my Mac Studio. So my Macs. I have not been a two-computer guy for a very long time. The last time I was a laptop desktop guy was as I was making my transition from Windows to Mac, having a generic PC tower that I had built and a iBook 900 megahertz PowerPC G4. And now having two, I realized, oh, having a laptop is pretty great. Having a powerful desktop for other stuff is great too. I didn't think I'd be getting a laptop. The only reason I really got one is because we were going back to the office more. I am too used to you working on a Mac now. They allow us to bring our own devices, so I'm happy to bring it. And my kid is doing more and more stuff at school that requires a computer, and she has her own account on that laptop, and she uses it too. And yeah, so I go into the office, plug in my M1 MacBook Pro into the screen there, and it's pretty good.
Yes. This feels like suburban problems, honestly.
But this is not a problem. I'm talking.
No, but
about
I mean, like
how
know,
great it is. Yeah. Obviously,
as you
not
can tell, I'm kind of oppositional to this segment. But I'm letting Angela do this because it seems like he's really enthusiastic about it.
Yeah, I don't know why you're
because I feel like there are better things they can talk about than us about this. Oh. I feel like who cares?
Well, what did you want to talk about?
I want to talk about anything else. I want to talk about Project Titan getting canceled.
Yeah, well, that's so negative. People lost their jobs.
Yeah, but they'll find another jobs, Angel. That's how this works. There's no more Apple Car.
Now, let's continue with this. You can bring your negativity in next week.
I don't know what other tech. My Nintendo Switch. I play games on it. It's perfect. There we go. I'm literally looking around the room right now trying to figure out what I want to talk about.
Oh, you don't have to. Like, you don't have to have anything, really. Like, your standing desk sounds really great. I am going to say something that you actually recommended to me. And I actually went out to Costco to buy for you. And And then I ended up buying a pair for myself when they were heavily discounted because the new ones came out. And that's the Sony WH-1000 XM4 headphones.
Yeah, because I have the XM3s.
Oh, you have the XM3s?
Yeah, because they were on mega sale because they were going out too, yeah.
Yeah, so you bought those when the 4s came out. I bought mine when the 5s came out. And I think I paid what were normally like up to $450, which I think is kind of nuts for headphones, although Apple charges $799 here in Canada for theirs. And I understand they're really great. I paid $280 for them, and that was $280 well spent, especially as now, like we talked about me going back to the office more, I build an oral cocoon around me where I block out everybody because they are really a productivity saver since it's extraordinarily noisy. As you know, I work in an open office environment where people are chatting around me, and this blocks people out amazingly.
I actually put the 3s on yesterday because I watched the Oscar nominated, not sure if they're gonna win yet, movie Zone of Interest. And let me tell you, if you want the this movie should win the full, like, the sound design award. Like, I know it's nominated, but it definitely should win. Definitely better listen to with a proper setup versus just outside of your television. There's a lot of like really interesting things going on. I'm not going to spoil it too much. Is it a great movie? Yes. Is it an interesting movie? Yes. Angela probably has no idea what I am talking about.
No, I've never heard of this.
What's the last movie you watched?
My son and I yesterday watched Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom.
And how was Aquaman?
Aquaman was fine. I like Jason Momoa, right? So like he's entertaining. I think the DC movie universe is really broken. Hopefully James Gunn can fix it.
How would you fix it?
Honestly, I have no idea. Not by completely rebooting it again, though. I felt like they had picked some actually decent actors to play these characters, and they're rebooting it again. Pretty odd.
Do you think? I don't think it's odd. I can't believe we're talking about Super. Very quickly, though, before I forget. I do not think it is odd because of the fact that you people are bringing baggage, right, when they like pick up roles.
That's true.
I think if you want a clean break, you want a clean break, especially if you want to tell a cohesive story, right? So
I also want to keep shouting out to Sony with my PS5.
Of course.
I'm enjoying that a lot. Of course. I'm playing Cyberpunk right now, which is a great game.
Finally, a great game, you mean.
And we can we'll build back a connection to the DC Universe by saying Cyberpunk, made by Project Red, made The Witcher, which stars Henry Cavill, which was Superman.
Yeah, Henry Cavill, who's now doing a Warhammer 40K thing. I think we talked about this a couple months ago, but he signed a deal with Amazon Studios to produce some Warhammer 40K stuff.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of video games, I am very eagerly
awaiting I am unembargoing this for the next 3 to 4 minutes. Go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm eagerly awaiting Shadow of the Erdtree, the much anticipated DLC for Elden Ring, which is dropping on June 20th. I will be there day one.
Huge surprise here. How much is the DLC? Do you know?
Probably going to be $40. Probably worth it. Apparently, it's a good, like, either like a quarter or like 50% as big as Elden Ring, which was a giant game. So I'm probably going to shove a good 30 to 40 hours into this thing.
Do you? Okay. So is it one of these situations where it's just living within the game and being brought out, or is this like wholly new content?
It's wholly new content. They've talked about how the experience kind of changes when you're in there, so that you can kind of go in at any moment. Because most of the people playing this, I mean, the game's been out for 2 years. Most people will have finished the game at this point. So they can't just say, oh, you got to start over and start like 75% of the way through. Like, it'll be a whole new area where you kind of access it after the game is done. So at least there's that.
Similarly to that, I don't know if you're aware of this, but Stardew Valley 1.6 is coming out at the end of March for PC, Mac, and then the console. And like every time Concerned 8 does an upgrade, there's like a new island, new items. So it seems like this is going to be another 20 to 40 hours for completely free.
That game's great.
I love that game. So,
like, speaking of joyful things, positive things, there's nothing negative about that game at all.
No, I can't think of a thing. I hang out with Krobus in the sewers. That's what I do. That's my favorite thing to do. I wish I could marry Krobus. I wish I could marry the homeless guy, but I can't. So you live.
Okay. Now I want to also touch on one last piece of tech that makes me happy, and it sort of coincides with your newsletter this week, and that is my Boss Katana amp.
Yes. Talk to me about it.
You know, I'm just a dude in my basement playing guitar for myself. I don't want to spend $1 bazillion on a tube amp that I'm never going to be able to use properly, since you can't go louder than like 0.5 on a tube amp without it blowing out your windows. So I bought a Boss Katana. You can set that thing at 0.5 watts, put the volume a little louder. It sounds great. Has onboard effects, plays well with the few pedals I have, and really happy with it. And it didn't cost that much. And it's light. And it doesn't, again, blow out my windows.
Yeah, but does it? How does the distortion sound?
Totally acceptable to my ears. Honestly, Brian, I've watched a lot of Guitar Gear videos and stuff like this, and I completely agree with what you wrote, or if your partner wrote that stuff. I don't know who wrote it.
So my co-writer John and I over on the Disturbed Cult Substack put up 28 warning signs that your loved one or a friend is a music gear dude, because it's invariably like 95% men, right? And kind of curious. I wish I could know the divorce versus married ratio.
Yeah, like I had a budget for this stuff and I didn't really go over it, which is great. But like, it's so easy to spend a lot of money on guitar gear. Like, bonkers easy.
I agree. Are you a big, like, cares about wood for your guitar guy?
Not at all. Like, I have no idea what wood my guitar is made of. I kind of like picked the guitar I wanted before I bought it and went and tried it out, and I liked it a lot. And I don't care that it's made in Mexico. It sounds totally fine. I don't need a $10,000 Les Paul, which are too heavy anyway. And
or Paul Reed Smith, right?
Yeah, like, well, Paul Reed Smiths are nice, and like apparently those, the quality control and even like the quote unquote cheaper models is really good. So like, I wouldn't spend $3,000 on a Paul Reed Smith either.
Angela's making my case for me here.
Yeah, exactly. No, I agree. Like, I agreed 100%. The only thing maybe not agreed with is like, I haven't subscribed to it, but Rob Chapman's channel is kind of fine. He's all right.
There's some cringe in there.
Yeah, it's a bit cringy. Like, if you've ever watched it, he has the same amp as me, except his has a layer of dust on it that is extraordinary. I don't even understand how that's there. Just take a vacuum cleaner. Just take a vacuum cleaner and just pass it over it. That's what I do. I vacuumed my stuff this morning.
I think it's sunlight, honestly, at that point.
Yeah, no. He's made a comment about how dusty it is.
Yeah.
It's caked on there.
Do you care about Polyphia? You are a Polyphia fan, right?
Polyphia is fine. I think Taylor Swift is actually a better cultural influence at this point. And I prefer, I like Polyphia. don't at me, not that you can, but I prefer Taylor Swift's music sometimes.
That's fine. I just meant technical prowess. Some people
obviously equate
technical prowess with greatness, which I've seen across many different subgenres and genres too. So,
although recently, Rick Beato had probably my favorite guitarist on his podcast.
Paul Gilbert?
His podcast on his show. Paul Gilbert was on. What a joy that man is to watch.
I was going
to
say, Paul Gilbert isn't like, he's been, around a lot, right?
Yeah. And he's just a nice guy. Yeah. He likes to talk about playing guitar. He loves to teach people guitar. And he seems so enthusiastic when he talks about it. It's so cringy out there. They're like, oh, I need this. I need that. And like, just nobody cares. No one, 95% of people can't hear. You're turning into an audiophile.
Well, no, 95% of people aren't even recording to share with people.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's a bigger problem too, that like people aren't ready to share their art at all because they don't think it's art. It's weird. They think it's work.
Yeah, I should record more.
Yes, you absolutely should.
But I'm lazy. I just like,
I know I you're lazy. This is why we're talking about our tech preferences, because you can come up with a good tech section and you relied on yourself.
Yeah, I love relying on myself.
I'm really worried about the 2 weeks I'm going away. Like, are we just not doing episodes?
I don't know. We'll see what happens. Who knows? and one last thing, which will tie into our paranormal segment. So see how I segue perfectly, is I'm really enjoying using Apple Fitness Plus.
Yes.
It has made me feel so much better now that my back injury was better. I've been using Apple Fitness Plus pretty much every day to do some form of exercise. The trainers are great. They don't overdo it. You can do as little or as much as you want. And it's just a pleasant experience. And now that I realize, oh, I can actually AirPlay my iPhone to my very old Apple TV, it's much better, because I was using my Apple TV directly to use Apple Fitness. And on an older Apple TV, mine is almost 10 years old, it lags a lot.
I mean, that's just the nature of
the
internet, it seems things like we talked about last week.
Yeah, it seems to have trouble connecting to my watch, and it's just annoying. So, hey, AirPlay from my phone still works, sounds great, looks great, makes me happy.
And AirPlay
looks great, 100%. And I think with that, we can actually go right into the into the paranormal segment after this, because it will tie in and you'll see how.
Double Density. Welcome back to Double Density. As always, we're switching gears from tech to the paranormal. And we have one subject to talk about on the docket. As Angela just mentioned, he talked about Apple Fitness Plus. One of the more interesting features, I guess, of Apple Plus Fitness is time to walk and time to run, right? So these are narrated stories, interviews, I guess stories, right? It's just the off-the-cuff thoughts.
I have never used it. I've actually kind of like made it to not show up on my thing.
So you didn't even road test this one for us?
No, I honestly found out this morning. I didn't have time to go for a walk. And I had no idea, but this is crazy that this is what would be talked about during the time to walk thing. Hopefully nobody is walking at night.
Yes. So yeah, let us talk about Goldie Hawn's recent time to walk experience, I guess would be the best way to call it, where she revealed she's had dealings with extraterrestrials, which I thought was really interesting. So yeah, so she on Time to Walk talked about always believing, which I found kind of interesting. So what I did is I found a transcript of this and I pulled through. And so yeah, when she was 20, she had her first kind of experience.
Yeah, it sounds like it was at a time in her life where she was stressed as well, because she was trying to get work, and she was sleeping in a friend's car, if I understand correctly.
Yeah, so she was working at a dance studio, and she wanted to take a nap, and she went to a friend's car, where she then heard a high-frequency, high-pitched sound in her ear, and that woke her up, and that's when she looked out the window, and there was these two or three triangle-shaped heads. They were silver in color. I had a slash for a mouth, tiny little nose, and no ears. And they were pointing at me, pointing at the car, as if they were discussing me like I was a subject. And they were droning. And she was paralyzed. And she thought, oh my God, I want to get up. I don't know if this is real or not. And so she managed to sort of snap herself out of this. And then years and years later, she ends up going under hypnotherapy in order to understand her experience with an astrophysicist. And then the full story comes out that she definitely was touched by an alien. And she felt like it was kind of like the hand of God touching her.
This is pre-communion as well. So
that's correct. Yeah, this is the early 70s, right?
Yeah, so it's kind of neat that it kind of coincides with
pre-close encounters too, if I do my math right. So
I wonder, is she thinking back to those other media to kind of recreate the memory of them being triangular shaped and with one little slit as a mouth and stuff like that? So I wonder if that's like retroactive memory.
I'd be very curious to know if she, the time frame in which this would happen, right? So also that she also talked about crop circles in England, because when she was in England years later, she saw some crop circles.
Yeah, and that's when they were popularly being made as pranks, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, some are pranks. Most are pranks, I admit. There's a couple of questionable ones that I wonder. But yeah, most of them are obviously. I've seen like the stampers. Anyone who's out there, if you want to Google, I think it's a crop circle stamper, crop.
Like the cool plank that you can use to make one?
Yeah, exactly. No, this is just a lot of ink stamps. No, I'm looking for a stamper. Basically, like there are large plaques of wood put together in certain ways in order to make it easy to leave an imprint to crush down crops, right, in order to make some kind of drawing.
Yeah. Do you remember that video that was tried to pass off as a crop circle being formed by this orb that flew over it? It turned out to be special effects.
Well, yeah, of course I do.
Yeah.
Unfortunate. The reason I brought this up too is because we've talked about in the past when this came out that Kurt Russell also was the civilian pilot who called in the Phoenix Lights in 1997.
Yeah, that's really amazing because I had forgotten we talked about this, but when I saw the video there in the show notes, I realized, oh yeah, we talked about this, and it just completely went away from my brain. I guess there was not enough space for this, but I've had Kurt and Wyatt Russell on my mind because I enjoyed them in Monarch Legacy of Monsters because casting could not have been better for that.
Yeah, it's been so Kurt Russell, he was flying Oliver Hudson, which is Kate, so Goldie Hawn's oldest kid, who they're all actors, right? And was flying Oliver back to California, I think. And basically, like, yeah, March 1997, looks out the windows. Oliver's like, what are these lights? Kurt Russell goes, I don't know, son. Good question. Calls it in. The air controller says, yeah, there's nothing out there. We're not getting anything. And then, so yeah, he was the civilian pilot that alerted the authorities to this.
And it doesn't end there. So, like, Goldie Hawn, Kurt Russell, both have had experience with aliens. And, of course, Wyatt Russell explains that he's had an alien encounter as well.
Yes.
Although not as exciting as his mom's and not as high profile as what his dad did by reporting the Phoenix Lights, but
exactly,
he saw a UFO in Canada.
Yeah. So two things to note. So he saw this in Muskoka, right? So that's cottage country. So that is, a couple hours north of Toronto. So if ever you see an Adirondack chair in Canada, they call them Muskokas, which I found really interesting. So he was recently doing the press tour with his dad about Monarch, like you just mentioned. He was on Kimmel and he was saying, yeah, because obviously this had happened. I think the interview was like November last year and Goldie Hawn's episode of Time to Walk had dropped in October. And so, you know, he gets asked about that. And he says, yes. I also have seen something. I saw a bunch of bright lights while I was in Muskoka, which I thought was really interesting. That like father, mother, son. I'm curious about the Hudson children. I'm curious about those children if they've seen anything. But, you know, three distinct people brought together by strange lights. And I'm kind of wondering, like, you know, does energy attract energy? By that, what I mean is, you know, Goldie Hawn has this vision in like the mid-60s, I guess, right? So it has this like kind of like weird encounter with the hand of God, yeah. Aliens.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like Kurt Russell seeing this, like, I'm kind of wondering, like, you know, are certain people marked in certain ways with this kind of stuff? And obviously, like, I know you're going to say no, but, you know, just something to ponder.
We've discussed this about how families seem to all have similar alien encounters. You know, they may be tracked. They might be hybrids.
I mean, someone who claims to be continuously hoaxed with his family in, like, different ways, of course, is a convicted pedophile, Stan Romanek.
Yeah, he's an awful person, though. I wonder, this made me think, how many celebrity alien encounters do we know of, right? There's this one. There's Sammy Hagar, who's been pretty famously talked about it. He talked about it on Howard Stern and stuff.
Demi Lovato's hanging out with Stephen Greer. Fred Durst, too, is Stephen Greer.
Oh, I didn't know the Fred Durst connection. Yeah,
he's posted certain Instagram stories over the years about his interest in Stephen Greer stuff.
Anybody else really high profile? Not really, right? Like, we can't count Whitley Strieber because he's a celebrity sort of in his own mind because of,
oh, Tom
of aliens. Oh, it's true. Tom DeLonge. Why? How could we forget the master?
Yeah. Part of the massive disinformation campaign right out there.
Who knows what he's, is he still working on that?
Yes.
But he's touring now too.
Yeah. I'm going to get misquoted on this. I'm going to misquote this, but I was reading an interview with Olivia Rodrigo a couple of months ago from Rolling Stone, where she said, someone asked her, like, oh, do you have beef with Taylor? Right? Of course, because, you know, two female pop stars obviously need to be confrontational with each other.
Of course.
Because I don't have beef with anyone. The only conspiracy I believe at is alien conspiracies or something like that she said. So I thought that was kind of interesting that she had put that out there.
Yeah, her next album will be about aliens abducting her.
that's fine, I think, right? Oh, Miley Cyrus, too, has had, like, a lot of stories about aliens, too. So I think that's really interesting.
A lot of musicians in here.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, it's kind of funny when you think about Demi Lovato and Miley Cyrus, basically, like, growing up in the same, like, Disney-fied universe.
That's true. That's true.
The Katy Perry song E.T.?
But, oh, yes. Katy Perry is definitely one. No, I think she's into it. And what? Oh, I'm forgetting Kesha.
Oh, well, Kesha. Yeah. It was her birthday just this past week, actually. I saw a tweet about that. Because, okay, so I go to music trivia, and the day before I go to music trivia, I go on Wikipedia, right? Because what happens is that usually there's a question about someone's birthday. And so I tend to see whose birthday it was either the Tuesday or the Wednesday before music trivia, and it was Kesha's last Wednesday.
That's really smart of you to do that.
Let's talk about a different kind of alien.
Oh, okay.
Let's talk about Tom Cruise. Right. Let's talk about Scientology. Like that okay. Technically is an alien encounter with Xenu, right?
The whole religion is based around aliens. Yes.
Yes.
As is Mormonism, sort of, right?
Yeah, I guess we could talk about that. I want to maybe do an episode about that. I'm sorry. I'm just staring at a book I just bought about that.
Are we going to excite our listeners about a potential upcoming episode about alien religions?
Yeah, exactly. Or, like, I mean, we've already done Raelians, right? Raelians had their time in the sun with a recent Netflix documentary that people loved.
I have not watched it yet. Have you watched it?
I have not watched it.
Are you worried that it's going to be something like how you know something too well and they're not going to cover things properly? Sort of like how Drive to Survive is looked at by F1 fans. Is like, they're not doing this right. It's like they're taking stuff from one race and putting it with another, and they're just trying to create drama. Do you think they're going to be doing that with the Raelians?
I don't feel like there's anything new in there that we have talked about.
Okay.
Like that we haven't talked about, sorry, right?
Yeah.
So the overviews, like a lot of interviews have been publicly available for a long time, especially if you hop up on YouTube and take a look around. So I did a lot of that when we did our first Raelian episode. But yeah, I have no strong desire to watch it right now. I know a lot of people have loved it, lived it, laughed at it, or laughed with it, depending on who you are.
Yeah, I may look into it. I don't know. There's so much stuff to watch. Right now, Brian, I'm watching something, and I don't want you spoiling or mentioning anything about this. I've watched one episode, not realizing that it would feel paranormal. I don't know if it's going to be paranormal, but it feels paranormal, and that's the True Detective latest season with Jodie Foster in it. And
Night Country.
Wow. I was not expecting it to start and feel like a borderline zombie movie.
Okay,
or maybe vampires?
I don't want to... So this isn't a spoiler at all, but something took me really out of the intro of the first episode, and that is the CGI animals that look awful.
That was rough. The deer jumping around and stuff?
That looked awful. That was the one biggest black mark against it.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's good, actually, then. So if that's the worst,
yes,
then the best is yet to come.
Yeah. There's a little bit of misdirection, so you're going to enjoy doing kind of making your way through that.
Great. I'm looking forward to it, and I'm... And what's great, it's only 6 episodes, Brian, and I only have 5 left, and I love that.
How are your thetan levels, by the way?
I haven't been tested lately.
No.
Last time I was tested, they were negative Xenu. Is that a correct?
Yeah. So in order, you know, to those who aren't aware, of course, with Scientology, the thetan levels are how you measure your ability to become clear, as they say, right? That's the ultimate goal, to become clear of, you know, all the alien organisms inside of you, right? So, for a while, you couldn't read OT materials, which is what it was called, or operating thetan level materials. You had to go to a specific room under lock and key and sit there and read. Now the internet's blown that wide open, though. You can kind of, if you know where to look, you can find all of the documentation you could ever want.
The thing is I like Tom Cruise. Like, he's fun to watch in movies. Like his fast running, all his really great stunts. And it seems like he's, from what people have said, he seems apparently like a decent guy. Can you fault somebody for the religion they follow?
I mean, do you want to talk about that? I mean, like, listen, like, there are no innocent large-scale religions in the world when you think about it, right?
Definitely not. No, absolutely not.
What about Miscavige's wife, right, for example?
Yeah, there was a lot that came out about that.
Danny Masterson, right? The Church of Scientology helping him cover up his crimes?
Yeah, not great.
Nope, there's a lot of that, right? So I think any large-scale, though, if you were to drill it down to the micro, sure, Tom Cruise is fine. He loves movies. He loves movies. That's the most interesting thing about it.
He does not approve of me watching them on my phone on the train.
He would not. He would get very angry, for sure.
And definitely no motion smoothing, which I actually hate as well. First thing I turn off on a TV. I don't understand how people could watch
I went over to my sister's like 6 years ago and turned it off. And suddenly she's like, oh gosh, this looks so much better. It's weird and unnatural.
No, yeah. And if you have an Apple TV, do yourself a favor and make sure you put on match frame rate. It's a feature inside the Apple TV and makes all the difference. It makes the movie match the frame rate it was meant to be at.
Invariably, we end up talking about movies. So I'm going to go see Dune this week. I'm going to see Dune. This drops on Wednesday, so I'm seeing it tomorrow night.
I heard that's based on a book.
It's based on a series of books, Angelo. And actually, I got an invite to go to the Montreal premiere where it's supposed to be Denis Villeneuve and Timothée Chalamet, but Timothée was sick. And also, like, I didn't feel like lining up at 3 p.m. in order to get access to a 7 o'clock screening or 6 o'clock screen.
No, thanks.
So I'm just going to see, like, a pleb in 70 millimeter, though, at least. I'm going to see the widescreen experience.
Cool. I'll wait for it to come out on Crave.
Huge surprise. Huge surprise from our culture vulture.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out a movie to go see with my son this week, but there doesn't seem to be anything I'm interested in seeing.
Let me pull this up. I'm kind of curious.
You're curious to see what kind of movies a 10-year-old child would like.
Kung Fu Panda 4? Kung Fu Panda 4?
Oh, I didn't realize that was a thing.
Yeah.
Oh.
Take me to go see Madam Web, actually.
I heard that was terrible.
It is terrible, but he's going to laugh so hard at it.
Really? I don't think he's interested in seeing that.
It's pretty dumb. Here, I'm just taking a look. Yeah, Migration, which is an interesting Illumination animation movie.
Oh, okay. If that's out, maybe.
If not, you and your son can smoke weed and go see Bob Marley, One Love.
No, thank you. I think you're trying to end the episode with that kind of
No, I'd just talk. Be curious to see what you say about these things.
No, thank you is what I say.
I tried. I didn't win. It's fine. Before I forget, though, Angelo, slight update on my trip to London and Paris. We just booked tickets to go see Back to the Future, the musical.
Amazing.
And it looks incredible. So I'm very excited by that.
I've heard that it's great.
Have you seen any of the visuals at all?
No, I have not. I've just heard people mentioning it on podcasts here and there and saying it's really good.
Okay, so let me pull it up for you. So that way you can watch it after this. But yeah, I feel like this is a great place to end episode 261 of the Double Density Podcast. A little bit of a short one, but that is fine.
Yeah, and please go to doubledensity.net and fill the form and tell us how great it was to hear some positive tech stuff about
exactly,
ourselves.
Yeah, or prove me right. Prove me right, either way.
Yeah.
Where can people find us?
Well, doubledensity.net, best place to go. You can catch all our social media links that I don't follow.
That's it?
That's it.
That's it?
Yeah, you can just go on doubledensity.net. Click on links and go to whatever social
media. Double
Density
Podcast on Instagram, Double Density Podcast over on Threads, and then on the dying website, X_Density. Yeah. And like Angela said, or else doubledensity.net, hit the Cacti Tech forum button or email us at doubledensitypodcast@gmail.com and let us know your thoughts about sharing our tech highlights.
Great.
Angela, go ahead.
I was going to say, what are you going to do on the rest of this nice Sunday afternoon?
I'm going to read. I'm very excited. I have a bunch of books in the corner over here, that I'm very excited to go read, including, hold on, I just put a bookmark, which means I intend to read this, Flying Saucers Over Los Angeles.
Ooh.
The UFO Craze of the 50s, so I'm very excited to read it, by Dwayne P. Johnson, Ken Thomas, and strangely enough,
Dwayne Johnson? Seriously?
Dwayne.
Oh, okay, too bad.
And then commentary by David Childress, so we'll see how I feel about that.
Oh, boy, I thought you were going to say, yeah.
We'll see how I feel about David Childress. Still on the fence about that guy.
I've heard him on a podcast and he sounds a bit out there.
Yes. So I'm very excited to see what his commentary is. It's very strange to have a book about a subject and then commentary about the subject. So we'll see how that goes.
I look forward to hearing about that.
This has been it for episode 261 of the Double Density Podcast. As always, you can tune in next week where Angela and I will talk about different things, including, you know, if you were with your son, you take him outside, you leave him outside, he sees a UFO, you take the train, you go somewhere, you see a UFO, suddenly the whole family sees a UFO. Your wife calls you, she's on vacation, right? She says, Angela, I've seen a UFO. Suddenly, it's a triumvirate. Then, of course, your daughter writes you an email. Dad, you know me, I'm skeptical. But what is this? And she sends a very grainy picture, Angelo, of a fast-moving object that does not rely on the laws of physics in order to move properly. And then suddenly, your entire family is infected with UFO mania.
We're a UFO family.